Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, so today we are going to be talking about insurance contracts. Right, all the cash people flip it off. But this is actually for cash PTs. So Brian is a owner of six clinics in the Connecticut / Long Island, whatever area. And he sees a good portion of his revenue comes from insurance contracts, right? Now, he started as a cash pay PT, and there was a transition there where he went from going to people's homes to having a location and taking insurance. Now, what I am doing is I have had the experience running the managerial side for somebody with an insurance-based business, but I never really did the insurance contracts, right? And I never really did the kind of nuts and bolts of that side of the business. So I was really interested because one of these days, I think I called Brian from the road while I was going between my cash patients, and I said, you know, what am I going to do? Because I did the math and I said in my head, okay, if I'm driving around, obviously that's a limit on my income, right? And we've covered that in previous podcasts. And even if it's going to take me three or four more years to fill up, you know, a local clinic, because if you take the convenience away of driving, you know, then that's one less reason why someone's going to pay you cash, right? So I'm like, okay, it's a 3 or 4 year plan here to be able to break that sort of $300,000 barrier. And I know I could raise prices. If I raise my prices tomorrow to like 350, like boom, it's done, right? But in Phoenix, there's only a few people who can do that. And I know a few of them and they're not busy all year, right? So that's their price, but it's not a full price, right?
Yeah.
So what I wanted to talk about was that shift. Like, how do I start dipping my toe in the water in insurance? A lot of mobile PTs actually start out taking Medicare, right? So they've already done this for Medicare, but it's different for commercial insurances. And I just wanted to know from your perspective, because you've done this, right? And you know people who've done it as well. You know, what are some of the key things I should look at that either if I know I want to scale, I know I want to go, what insurance should I, what timeline should I think of? Is this something that I do like 3 months before I open or a year before I open? You know, what are some of the things that I should have in place? Should I look at a front office person? Is that something that, you know, I can drink out of a fire hose for a year before I can afford it? You know, like looking at that transition of insurance contracts, I kind of want to know what you've done and then what you would recommend.
Yeah, I mean, I think the aspect of understanding whether to take insurance or not is understanding what's required to take insurance, right? So the answer is really just getting contracts and getting contracts with different companies that ultimately want, you know, that they negotiate a rate. So essentially what you're going to do, and by the way, for any private practice owner out there who's thinking about taking insurance, you're basically starting at the bottom of the barrel because they're going to prioritize hospital systems, big corporations, et cetera. So as somebody who's a new PT practice, like say you use the analogy of Owen, you're going to get the lowest reimbursement rates out of the gate. That's just how it works. You hate the player, hate the game. I fucking hate the game on it. And I just did a podcast before there that talked about the magic wand should be to double reimbursement rates. But nevertheless, I digress.
Mm-hmm. But if only.
So that being said, say you get the insurance contract and everybody's state will be different, right? Essentially, what I would tell you is, the next step is also making sure that you have an EMR in place and then also that you have a billing company in place. So the good news is all these things exist and generally come one in the other, right? They come together. And basically what they do is they'll work, you know, a certain amount for the EMR, you'll pay for the EMR, along with the fact that for the reimbursement rate in general, you'll also then end up, you know, paying a certain amount of money for each visit contingency to the agency. And that can be anywhere from like 2% to 8% to what's collected in the clinic, out the clinic, what's connected by the insurance company, now the insurance company, et cetera, right? So all those things exist, right? In my mind, as soon as you get into this world and this realm, it is good to at least have an office manager of some kind or a person who can help you scale the business that can take care of the insurance shit, because it's very difficult to do on your own. Right. I think it was Jimmy McKay that just had a good post about this, right? The Ferrari for Why do we have PTs doing billing and folding towels and et cetera? Well, there's your ancillary costs, right? Like if you're doing all of the physical therapy work, ultimately you need other people to do this stuff. And so the lifting around the billing, the collections, the making sure everything's getting authorized, et cetera, you need that supportive team, right? That's a
Well, and
huge.
I think just to jump in on that, I think the reason the doctors do it, right? You don't see a doctor, refilling syringes or whatever the hell, right? Is because their time is significantly more valuable in the insurance company's eyes, right?
Well,
So it makes more sense for them to hire that stuff out. And I think, I know you're kind of shaking your head like, well, no, it's not, but we don't we can't it's harder to pay somebody to do that stuff when you're making 90 an hour in Arizona, or 90 a patient, than it is if you're making like 250 an office visit,
I mean, dude,
so.
but look at primary care physicians, right? I think the idea that we look at, I think what we do is we look at orthopedic surgeons, look at other physicians like that, and are like, look how much money they're making, and therefore they must be getting reimbursed that much more, right? I don't think you and I, like, we've seen EOBs probably for a surgery or something like that in a surgical center. But the reality of what those are is those guys are working for big hospital corporations that have negotiated giant contracts. And we both know that those types of contracts in the physical therapy world also are super high. The difference is these hospital systems don't want to pay physical therapists the same amount because they know they don't have to. They don't, they know they can already pay more. If they just pay you 10% more, 20% more, they know there's a certain amount of people that'll have staff and they'll be able to attract to the systems. So that's on us to tell them to fuck off, right? I mean, it's that simple in my mind, right? Along with the idea that I wish that reimbursement rates were more evenly distributed amongst private practices. There's not many physician private practices in orthopedic surgery anymore. Like, you got to work for the man, you got to go work for corporate, right? That's the way that works. Hospital systems, private systems, whatever. So that's why I'm shaking my head. It's more of like a, it's not, again, to go back to kind of your conversation around insurance contracts, the way me and Owen got on this topic is if you're a physical therapist that's a solo practice owner and you're not making, 250 to 350K on a regular basis into your business, you're not scaling properly. And so a lot of physical therapists hear that and see that number and they think, oh, nice, that's how much money I'm gonna make. No, because you got overhead, right? You got to pay the people who are gonna, again, the idea is that in an insurance-based world, if you're making $300,000, you got to pay that front desk person, and they're not coming cheap anymore. Minimum wage is in Connecticut $20 an hour, so the reality is that's getting more expensive. You got to pay for the EMRs. You again, any billing system, if you're just starting out, it's going to smack you 7%. They're going to take 7% of that. If you're collecting other pieces of equipment, right, and you're trying to scale, like this is the thing that I don't think people realize is like if you're like, I just want to run an in-network type of deal, and it's going to be me, and I'm going to be in office, and I'm going to do one-on-ones. Like, you're going to see, man, you probably make more money working for somebody, right, than you would, because you're going to get stuff cut out. So again, like, how would I do it? Or like walking through people, honestly, I'm not going to put that on the podcast for free. Join our group, physiodeskcoach.com, because that's a very lengthy conversation. However, what I will put on here is the first step that I would most likely do for any cash-based physical therapy like Owen is I would take Medicare first. I would take Medicare, and the reason I say that, I would take Medicare, and I would look up and talk with a billing company of what the highest average reimbursement rate insurance is in your area in network, right? For me that happens to be Blue Cross Blue Shield, right? So again, that isn't for everybody. That just happens to be for my particular clinic here in Connecticut. So I would take Blue Cross Blue Shield and Medicare, right, is the two. Why? Medicare is going to essentially be the middle of the day when most cash PTs are quiet, right? So, this, a lot of us start the practices doing home care and stuff like that. So between 10 o'clock and 2 p.m., this will cover that window that you can get a couple of patients in. So it's otherwise, it's kind of like ClassPass is positioned for fitness groups. For those listening and everybody who's in fitness knows that ClassPass sucks for the gyms. Essentially, what ClassPass says is, well, you were going to have those spots not open anyway and generate $0. You might as well get whatever amount of revenue we're going to give you for those spots. And that's the idea. Basically, between 10 and 2, you weren't doing anything anyway, making any money. So now at least you got, $100 or $85, whatever the reimbursement rate is for Medicare coming through the door, right? So that's what the first one. And again, they're cutting reimbursement rate, but you're really not going to collect that amount of money because you're going to write that check over to, part of it over to a billing company, et cetera, right? Along with the time that you need to do with Scribe and all that stuff has gotten better. So that's one. And then two is in the highest reimbursement rate in that those payer models, because they actually are going to be somewhat comparable and that you can actually take them on. You're going to want to take on a limited amount of them, but you can do that. And that's literally how I would start if I were to answer
Okay.
your question.
So, and I mean, that makes a lot of sense, right? Like,
Yeah.
if you're saying, in my case, 175 an hour, and you're saying, okay, I'm going to see, I have a marketing problem, I'm slow, or I have a scaling problem. This is something that I can't grow to a point that, will be big enough for me to make generational wealth or whatever the goal is, right? By the time I retire. You take insurance, right? So if you're going to do that, you want to find the least bad drop, right?
Yes.
And those are things that the volume piece will then kick that up. So I think a important point is that you raised was yes, you're going to have some overhead of the biller and the EMR and all that, but then you have to also be thinking, how am I going to juice volume? How am I going to make this something that I can see more? Because you can't just take your cash practice that it's just you. Hi, Susie. How are you? See her for an hour and then she leaves. That model isn't going to work. So then it becomes, well, okay, do I hire a tech? Do I just, I can do it, but I need to figure out a location, right? Is my location suitable enough? Is this a lease that I want to have? For 2 years, or is this something that I signed for seven? What size do I have? All that stuff I think is really important, not just if you're, building, trying to make the switch from cash to insurance, but also if you're trying to add a second clinic, right? Is
For
that
sure.
okay? I know in Arizona, and this might be just be kind of only us, but there's a network that if you are in a zip code or a geographical area, right? You are the only one allowed to take that insurance for PT. And the only way that the guy next door can take it is that if you stop taking the insurance.
Yep.
I specifically remember a clinic going out of business, patients walking over to us that day. And my first call I made was to our administrator. And I said, we got to call and get PTPN because I know they were the one who took it. And they just closed the doors. And we got it. And that clinic did really well because all of a sudden we got 20% more volume.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's a digression, but I think space and handling the volume is the next big question I would have.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's the good news about taking insurance, right? Then you hire people. It's that simple, right? Like the answer is then you hire you go from a patient acquisition problem to a patient fulfillment problem, which is you got to hire PTs. It's that simple. And again, the reason for why I'm such a huge believer in why insurance reimbursement really needs to go up is because I think the reason for why, and I don't care whether you're a cash PT, insurance-based PT, hospital-based, et cetera, if you're in the physical therapy profession, we would be remiss not to acknowledge the fact that physical therapists are leaving the profession. And there's a feeling around that they are burnt out, et cetera. There's X amount of problems, et cetera, whatever. And the reality of the situation is the reason that they're leaving is because they feel underpaid, they feel overworked, et cetera. And if everybody was making an extra 50% more salary, I promise you that feeling would go away or at least reduce significantly, right?
Well,
And
and it's
that's
a
the
public
reality.
health. We could go into this, but I mean, we're one of the few places where it would be a public health issue, right? Because then you
For
have knee
sure.
replacements without range of motion. Then you have,
Yeah.
shoulder
Already getting
surgeries and
there.
they can't use it, but that, I mean, that's another podcast entirely.
For
That's
sure.
about five drinks at a bar and how much time do you
For
got?
sure. For sure. For sure.
So the handling the volume side is, yeah, you got to hire. Right. So if you're a PT
Yeah.
that's never hired anybody before and you don't understand insurance, you don't understand like hiring law and what you can say, because all that's ever happened is you've been hired once or twice before you started your own practice. I think that's something where I'm a big proponent of paying for advice when it's someone who you know is appropriate for it, right? So I think, I mean, right now, I don't have a lawyer on retainer, right? I don't have an employee. I remember going to a lawyer when I first started out and I said, hey, so like, what's a retainer? I don't know if I can afford it, but it sounds like I might need a lawyer because I have a business. And he's like, dude, don't even call me until you hire somebody, right? He's like, you do not need me. He said, I'm happy to pick up your phone call. I'll charge you like an hour. But he's like, the most that's going to happen is you're going to get a contract that you need looked over. He said, but once you hire somebody, that's a whole other box of rocks. And that's where I think, like, you know, if you're looking to say, okay, I'm going to start taking insurance, the side that you don't think of as much or you feel you can handle because you've worked somewhere before, I think is that HR piece. And not saying you have to have an HR director, but like, at least get some good advice so you can do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of ways to bring that on, right? And again, like, what people have to realize when you like here's the ripple effect that occurs with insurance, right? All right, so now what I got to do is I have to bring on a billing person, right? I got to bring on EMR. So there are those costs, right? I'm in a space because that's logical to do that. Then when I bring on an employee, I got to bring on payroll, but I got to bring on payroll for that. Most PTs, right, to your point, now you got to pay them a salary, but on top of that, you got to pay them health insurance and 401k reimbursement, et cetera, right? All the things. You got to do all, like, again, like, and for those people who are like, well, I could probably get away with that, or my personal take benefits, trust me, you still need to have the benefits package lined up. This becomes expensive, and you want to, like, the swing is you want to be prepared to have multiple employees. And so this right here, what we're talking about, this is why people are going to cash PT. Hands down, because they're looking down the barrel of this and they're like, oh shit, this is way more complex. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it.
And
However,
there's a grace period. There's like a 3-year grace period where you are just signing checks to a bunch of people. You're taking home nothing. And you're one of the three PTs that is going to see all that volume because you want to keep the lights on, right?
100%.
And that is something that it's uncomfortable. But of course, the light at the end of the tunnel is you have
For sure.
six clinics and, you know, they're all making money while you're on a podcast with some guy in Arizona, you know? So
The
like
truth.
but these are, you know, but that's the risk you take. That's the skin in the game that, you know, I said it to my boss, right? She's having a good time. Photos of vacations and all that. And she's like, "Oh, do I worry if I post those or whatever?" I'm like, anybody who's got a head on their shoulders realizes that you basically ran through the mud for like 7 or 8 years to get to the point that you could take a vacation. So go nuts, you know? So yeah. Chudos drive up with like a giant Hummer. It was hilarious.
I also think there's a certain amount of, like, when you actually think about this process, man, like, to me, I think a big part of it is also making sure that from the perspective of like, when I think about that situation, that conversation around the owner and other things like that, I think it's also important to understand. Like, I would be remiss if any of my employees or anybody from Evolution would ever listen to this particular podcast. The biggest thing that we've also tried to realize is we didn't get here without the right people. Now,
Oh, 100%.
let me be very, very frank. We also paid them to help us get here, right? So it's not like they did it for free out of the charity of their mind. So I'd like to remind people that on a regular basis. However, that being said, like, is there a way to reward them and also to build throughout the future? Absolutely, and we're always working on that. And so I think that the bigger thing is that people don't have the same tolerance specifically around the time frame that that deserves. But I think that people have to understand that if you were to do it on your own and try and build it on your own, it would take you years. So, like, the aspect of going in for somebody else and building with somebody else is going to be much easier, in that capacity. So anyway, that's how I kind of look at it as a whole and kind of moving forward for sure.
You can do it, but it's a very big there. We talk about this a lot, right? Cash is a low risk, low reward, right?
Yes.
Feels like a high reward because right away you're like, oh God, all this money's mine. This is great. But there's a cap to it, right? You know, you get big enough, you hire somebody, and then they can take cash too. They have hands,
Yep.
you
100%.
know. But you know, that's low risk, low reward. Everyone's happy, right? I think insurance is the higher risk, but higher reward, right? You get
Yes.
the I can help my city as opposed to I can help a few people who know who I am. right? I can make 20 people have a great job and a good income and buy a house, as opposed to I can help myself have a good income and buy a house, right?
Yes, exactly.
That if you want that bigger goal, this early stage, this kind of transition out of cash into insurance, or if you're just starting off right with insurance, don't let anyone fool you. It's not a easy cakewalk.
Yes, for sure. I think that's the key. When people understand like the insurance side, the people are looking, well, how would I do it and how would I jump? The answer is you're going to take it on the chin for a minute. Right. But as you build, the idea is you're building long-term sustainability and growth. It's no different than any investment. Like you put money into something, what's going to end up happening is you're not going to have that money in your checking account too, right? But that investment can grow. And that's the reality of the trade-off you should have with this is what is the growth strategy? And again, let me finish this up with this, right? Is I'm not advocating for anything. Do whatever the hell you want, right? Like I keep saying back that sometimes you're like, what should you do, right? When I'm like, whatever you want to do. Like if you have a the whole point of the only advantage to being a business owner, the only advantage is that you're driving the bus. That's it. The only difference. So like if you find an awesome company that you're in the the owner's driving the seat or driving the bus, and you like the bus driver. And you're like, this is cool, the direction we're going in. It's much easier just to stay on the bus. But I
I
think
had
if
that
you're
for 8 years. I had that for 8 years. It
100%.
was great. She said, "Do your thing, make me money.
Exactly.
Like, you're good, right?" It only came down to whenever she wanted to sell, where it was like, "No, don't do too much of your thing." And I was like, "Oh, yes."
Exactly. Exactly.
But
And
I'm an
so,
entrepreneur. You always told me before we started this, it wasn't a
for
matter of
sure.
if you start a business,
Just
it
when. Exactly.
was when.
And you can see, like, if you're good, and like, I think the other part is if you're a good physical therapist, you can make it happen, right? I just
Oh,
think that a
yeah.
lot of people are jumping in earlier than they should. I mean, me and Owen talked about this, like, about the 300K mark. And, he was like, I don't think there's a lot of cash physical therapists that are making that amount of money. And I was like, that's interesting if you think about it. Like, that's interesting. But, and that's a gross revenue spot. I don't mean
Take home, yeah.
take home. But at the end of the day, like, kind of shows the gap that I think people aren't thinking about. You need to be taking home that amount of money in your gross revenue to even be bringing in six figures, right? So like
Yeah.
that's the reality of the situation,
I would
especially if
be.
you're a solopreneur.
That's it. I mean, 300,000 in, if you're mobile, that's hard to hit unless your prices are like 250 plus. I would say 300 maybe. I'd have to do the math on it.
Yeah.
And then if you take the mobile away, which we talked about before, is a lot harder to make people pay $300 for you and then also drive to your clinic, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't think, I'm sure there are $300,000 solo PTs out there. Most of them, they would have had to do what we just said, get good at hiring people, right? Figure out how to do that. So, regardless, if you want to make more than just a good income, you're going to have to figure out how to manage a lot of this stuff. So,
Yeah. I would
hopefully
also
that
say
was.
one thing that Owen said in particular, and that I want people to understand, manage. I will tell you this, the one thing I didn't understand was like managing staff and the importance of all that. And so that is a skill that I have developed that has taken me time and been huge.
And you learn through experience, man.
100%.
All right,
Cool.
with that, we
Thanks, man.
are out. Hopefully, if you've been thinking about taking insurance, this was helpful. If you have any questions where you want specific answers to your business, what we would do in your shoes, talk out some stuff that matters to you, join us at www.physio-growth.com. You'll see our school group there. It's a mentorship group. We meet at least once a week for Q&As. And yeah, hopefully we can help.
Love it. Let's do it. See you,
See
man.
ya.